So we've started our service late, so I don't want us to hold here for a long time. But I just want to read a couple of scriptures, and maybe we can title the thought, "Today If You Will Hear His Voice." Amen. And I would like to congratulate those who are writing the grade 7 exams for making it. Yeah. I believe Sister Simkoko, your daughter, made it. I saw it on Facebook. Which girl is that? Is it your daughter or your niece? Oh, it is your niece who made it. Oh, okay. I thought it was your daughter. Anyway, by African tradition. Okay, that was good. And in Talalisha also, you made it. Everyone makes it this time. You know, it's 100%. But it's good when you get something 700 and above. And I believe... He got 712. That is okay. That is fine. Let us go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 1. This is going to be a short message, but very important. And I got myself a Nyanja Bible, and I'm trying to acquaint myself. And it's actually beautiful, certain expressions, the way they are expressed, you know, when you read it in Nyanja or Chichewa, certain meanings actually are beautifully expressed. I would encourage you also to do the same, especially as we make our trips to Bufunsa. It is one of my targets this year, just to, you know, to improve in the Nyanja vocabulary, so that we don't have hindrances or problems when we go out for mission work. So you allow me, I'll be reading some portions in English, then reading the equivalent in Nyanja. Now let us read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. I would love for all of us to read together. The scripture says... Let us read. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. You may be seated. I'll straight away read Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now, today, it doesn't say tomorrow, it doesn't say, at another time tense other than the present tense. It says today if you will hear his voice. Now let me just read it in Nyanja. I want to read chapter 2. Of course certain words are very deep, and but certain words are actually rich. Mwaichi tienera kusama liradi zimene tida zimvazi kuti kapena tingatengedwe ndi kusiana nazo. Now I was interested in the last expression, which says kapena tingatengedwe ndi kusiana nazo. Now you understand the thought as we bring it out. Now the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Now, of course, many times, God speaks in different ways. He may speak through a vision. He may speak to someone through a preaching. Or even through a circumstance, a situation. The voice of God can be expressed through that. Amen. Now, It says, well, in whichever form that God is speaking to you, in whichever way that the voice of God comes, do not harden your heart. As in the day of the provocation, you know the day of the provocation, the time the Israelites, God was taking them from the land of Egypt. And well, we know they were a rebellious people. They explicitly showed their rebellion, even to the point of sometimes wanting to take stones and to throw them at Moses. Well, what we are speaking of today may not necessarily be in that way, but there are many times when a thought, a word has been given, something has come to your attention, and deep down your heart, you know that I need to do something about this. But somehow, maybe you delay taking action. Maybe you feel it's not so urgent. And well, you feel, oh, that was a powerful word. It was a powerful message. Or I think I need to do something about this. But as you let the days go, that voice, that conviction begins to become dimmer and dimmer until you are back to your normal self as though you never heard that thing. Now, that is the way the mind and the heart operates. When you hear something, have you ever been in a situation where you hear something, even your heart jumps and you feel, I need to do something about that? And then, well, for some reason or whatever may have happened, you ignored that conviction, and with time it actually grew fainter, and until even if you were to hear it for the second time, it lost its impact. Anyone who's ever experienced that? Okay. So we are speaking of something that is familiar, a familiar experience. Now the thing of it is, when something comes to your attention, and we are speaking of the word of God, we are speaking of an admonition, we are speaking of something that your heart knows God is speaking here, it is very important to take urgent action. Because when God speaks, yeah, it means it is important. But you see, we are always at war with not just the flesh, but with running up and down. And there are so many things that can distract you to that thing which you know you need to do something about it. There are so many distractions. So many distractions. But remember, the way the mind is, if something comes to it, well, it will be trapped there. But if you don't give it priority, it will slip away. And that is why I love the expression here, the way it is phrased in Nyanja. It says, Mwaichi tiendera kusama liradi, zimene tida zimbazi, kutika pena tingatengedwe, ndikusiana nazo. So there's always a point where what you've heard has come to your heart. If you don't give it attention, muzasiana nazo. It won't hold on to you. It will, in other words, in English it says, it will slip away from you. Amen. So it is just very important to pay attention to what God is speaking. And that is what we read in Hebrews 3 verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today if you will hear his voice. Now, I don't know in what way that voice can come. It can come in different ways. It can come through, maybe you are hearing a preaching and then something touches you. It's just a strong conviction upon your heart. Or it can be through a dream. Or I don't know how it has come to you. But one thing I am sure of, when God has spoken, if you are a child of God, you will know that that is for me. Amen. Now, here is something important. Even when God speaks to you, or even when a certain situation, circumstance communicates something to you, even if you were to hear the audible voice of God and God tells you to do something, he won't force you to do that because you have free will. Amen? And because of that free will, you can make a right choice, you can make a wrong choice. That is why free will, although it is the greatest gift in the hands of man, it is that same free will which will lead many to destruction. And if we are not careful, it can lead us to destruction. And that is why it is very important that when we hear something, and we know we need to do something about that, when you make a decision, here is a key word, you need to act. When do you need to act? Today. In that moment you hear it, you need to act. And that is what I want to speak about. I want to speak about the power you have in making a decision, the power of making a decision. And we're calling the title of the message today, if you will hear his voice, because God always speaks in the present tense. And if you don't grab it, because his word is light, and light doesn't stay. Brother Nice has spoken some beautiful things about that. Light is never stationary. If someone told you, I have a package of light at my home, that is darkness, because light is ever in motion. So when God's word comes to your heart, that is the light of God. It is his light which has flashed upon you to see something you were not seeing. And for it to have an impact on you, once it flashes on you, you have to move with the light. Then you see more, then you'll be helped more. But if the light flashes on you, you do nothing, you are seated, you say, I'll do it tomorrow. You are in darkness. The light has moved on. Let us read Proverbs 22, verse 3. Proverbs 22, verse 3. I love this one in Nyanja. Brother Nzima, you can read it in English. Proverbs is what? Nyambo, eh?
Nyambo.
Not Mbiri?
Mbiri, that's the
only
one.
Oh. Okay. Okay, Miambo. What did you say, brother? It's Miambo, isn't it?
Miambo, yes.
Yeah, okay. That is chapter 22. Yeah, you can read it in English, then I'll read it in Nyanja.
A prudent man foreseeth the evil and righteth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished.
God bless you. I love the way it is expressed in Nyanja, you know. It says, Wochenjera aonazoipa na bisara. Komachi bwana ango pitirira nalipitsidwa. Okay, so it speaks of a wise person. He foresees evil. He sees danger coming. And what does he do about that danger? It says, Wochenjera aonazoipa na bisara. Meaning, you hide, you've planned to say, there's something dangerous coming. So, you've seen that evil thing, so you hide yourself. But then it says, a fool, or one without wisdom, achibwana, I had no idea, that's the term, you know, achibwana, achibwana is, I think that's a better term. Achibwana is someone who takes things casually, yeah? You see, the Lord has spoken something, you see, this is not good, this is dangerous, it can have dangerous results. But you are casual. You say, somehow, we're going to get around it. So I won't do anything about it. Achibwana. It's not good. It says, Achibwana ango pitirira. Now, you know what I love about the Nyanja expression? I think it's very close to Homer. It really, when we say, there was danger, everyone said, daimirire ango pitirira. There is a certain weight and meaning to that because it's our language. Now, the thing of it is, this person who has foreseen evil, how did he foresee that evil? How did he foresee that danger? The light of God opened his eyes. The light of God is his word, right? And his word can come in various ways. It can come through the way I'm ministering. It can come through a certain situation. Something has just happened. And then something strikes your heart to say, this is God speaking. I need to do something about this. Another day again, the same thing happens. Now, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established, right? And if God is trying to speak something to you, there will be certain circumstances and situations which are going to emerge or develop. And it can be a crowd of people or a team of you or a number of you. You all see that thing. But the person for whom that thing is meant for, something will strike his heart. You remember when Daniel was seated with his friends in a certain place? Well, I don't know whether they were his friends, but well, there were other people who were with him. And the Bible says there was like what other people said, an earthquake, and they all ran away. They ran away from that phenomena because there was a shaking. Rocks were running. And the people who were with Daniel, they departed, they ran away. And what did they go running away telling? What did they report? Oh, there's an earthquake. We were seated there. Rocks started moving and they ran away to take cover. But there's one man who didn't run away. And that was Daniel. Why did he not run away? Because what happened didn't just reach his flesh. To the others, it just hit their senses. They felt something in their body. Their sight saw something, maybe they saw rocks moving and all that. But that is how far that phenomena went to them. But there was a spiritual man there, Daniel. He didn't write a story to tell us that there was an earthquake. He tells something completely different. Daniel says, I saw an angel coming from heaven, coming down. That is right, isn't it? Because he was a spiritual man. He saw something that all these others did not see. If God has a message for you, it can be a crowd. Something will be spoken, a phrase. To other people, it's just another statement. But if that thing is directed to you, you exactly know what God is speaking to you. You remember again at another time, the people said, oh, it has thundered. Like a thunder. But the Lord Jesus, he didn't hear a thunder. He heard the voice of the Father speaking, saying, I have glorified. I've already glorified my name in what's about to do. What's about to happen. Amen. So now, when Daniel was able to receive that message from God, the future was revealed to him. He was able to see what was to come. A spiritual man. The others, they saw an earthquake. Did they know what would be to come? No, they didn't. They were not spiritual. A prudent man, God shines upon him, shows him the light. That light can come in various forms, the way it came to Daniel, through a teaching, through a situation, through a circumstance, but in whichever way, you know it in your heart that I need to do something about this. I need to do something about my life. I need to do something about this habit. I need to do something about my prayer life. I need to do something about, well, the way I manage my finances, the way I live my life. I don't know what that thing could be, but your heart will always know when something is not in line and you need to make things right. And although God has spoken, the power to redeem yourself or to overcome, the power to enable you to take action and say, that thing is coming. I think let me do this. That ability, much as the Spirit of God is there, yes, to give us the inspiration, to give us the grace, but nothing will happen until you make a decision. Until you make a decision. Now, here is something, saints. I want us to look at this story in 2 Kings 3, verse 15. Let us illustrate this with this story. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15 to 20.
am I reading from? Is that 2 Kings or 1 Kings? Let me try 1 Kings. I may have missed what I wanted to read. No. It can't be in 2 Kings. This is terrible. Sorry, it's not supposed to be 3, it's supposed to be 13. 2 Kings 13. I had it written down wrongly here. 2 Kings 13, verse 14. The prophet Elisha was very sick and he was about to die. Okay? So he was very sick and the sickness was unto death. And so the king felt so bad because a prophet in those days was a very important person. A prophet was a security of a nation, so to speak. Although you had armies and the chariots and the soldiers, people looked at a prophet as the real armor, the real man of warfare who would give the word of God to guide people on what they were supposed to do. And now this is, I'm trying to speak this to give you context of why this young king, when he went to see the dying prophet, cried in the way he cried. 2 Kings 13 verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Now you understand why he cries the way he cries. Because a prophet is the security of a nation. He's the one to tell the soldiers, go ahead, fight this warfare. Don't go ahead. The Lord is speaking this and that. So that is why, if you remember, Elisha, I think that is how he cried when Elijah was going, right? My father, the horsemen of Israel, you know. And the prophet here is very sick and the king comes to see him. Now, at this time, Israel always used to be in problems with Syria. Syria used to give Israel problems, wanting to attack it, wanting to destroy it. And, well, he comes, he sees Elisha, and he is crying, you know. But Elisha is not taken into that self-pity to say, oh, yes, you know, I'm about to die and all that. He was a servant of God. And this is what Elisha said unto him. Take bow and arrow. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, well, not just in the Old Testament, but, well, it is usually common for prophets sometimes to speak with certain, what you call, omens. He tells this king, can you open the window? Take the bow, take the arrow, shoot. And Elisha was so serious that as he tells the king to do that, you know, he was worried maybe he won't shoot properly, you know. He took his hand and actually tried to hold it also on the bow. Says, shoot, and then he shot. And he says, behold the deliverance the Lord has given you. You shall consume the Syrians. Now, of course, the king didn't need interpretation. He knew that the bow and the arrow speaks of how Israel is going to march in warfare and overcome the enemy. But notice, another omen followed again. Now, watch what happens this time. I want you to watch carefully. Verse 18, and he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, and he smote three times and stayed. Now, the first time he is told to take the bow and arrow to shoot, Elisha kind of helped him, huh? He put his hand also there. But this time he tells him, okay, take the arrows, hit the ground, and the king only hits three times. And when Elisha saw that, he got angry. He got upset. Why did he get upset? Verse 19. And the man of God was wrath with him, and he said, thou should have smitten five or six times, then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice, only three times. Now, if you were in the shoes of this king, what would you have done? Would you have had an idea to say, okay, now I'm being told to hit the ground three times, and he just does. Now, I wonder how he was doing it, whether he was doing it with his strength or he was doing it pole pole. I don't know. But the thing of it is, God had put the destiny of what would happen to Israel and the amount of victory in what that king would do as he was hitting the ground. That was given to his volition, right? Is that right? Now, for me, when he was told to take bow and arrow, and the prophet gave an indication to say this has something to do with victory over Syria, right? So there was a clue, right? When he showed, he says, behold the deliverance. That's how you overcome Syria. Now, hit on the ground. Well, what would you have done? Well, there are many times when if God is speaking, and for you to really truly grasp what he's speaking, you also need to be in the spirit. Otherwise, you won't grasp what it is all about. If this king was spiritual as Elisha was spiritual, I believe he would have done exactly what was desired for him to have done. You understand that? So an anointed word can be given, and it will be so clear to your ears. But until you also walk in the spirit, you may not do to the fullest exactly as you should. Now, one important lesson which is here is, whatever promises can come to your life, their fulfillment, the extent to which God can use you, the extent to which you can excel, whichever way God may want to bless you in, it is really heavily dependent on what you decide about. Life is a series of decisions you make every day. If you look at this audience today, and I asked you, how many are we? Well, it's a better number today. But now, if I ask you, how many people are not here? It would be very easy for you to start listing. Oh, brother so-and-so is not here. Brother so-and-so is not here. And if I would ask you, pick a phone, call them, ask why they are not here. There'll be different reasons. Others will say, I'm still at work. Others will say, oh, you know, I knocked off late and I'm tired. Others will say, oh, I'm not feeling well. I have a cough maybe. Different reasons will be given, right? And valid reasons. If you were to pick another phone and you told them, Brother, right now, you are needed at the office because you'll be promoted tomorrow and there are certain things you need to go through. If it was you, or you've been told, there's an emergency, or maybe you are sick anyway, or I've sometimes heard, you know, I used to think these reasons would come from young children, but actually, there was a time, I can't remember where that was, where it was in Rufunsa, actually, it was in Rufunsa, where a certain gentleman could not come for fellowship, I think we were with Brother Nzima at that time. Apparently, we had been told that, now, this man, he had come to tell us how the word affected him, how it touched his life. He says, I've been in the denomination for many years. I never heard a message like this. And he wanted to be baptized. He wanted to come for fellowship. Now, his brother, father, or uncle, is a pastor of the denomination. So, they sat him down. You can't be doing that. No. And they told him all that. So, this day when he was supposed to come, because previously he had a lot of zeal, we tried to find out, why are you not coming? And he says, well, at Izakumana, I'll come in Zabwe. You remember that day, brother? Maybe you've forgotten. We had passed through his place. He's the one who is a neighbor to the Pirates. And yeah. Sorry?
He's a brother.
He's a brother to who? Oh, he's a brother, yeah. So we had come there, we had gone there, we stopped by, and he says, no, tizakumana kumsonkana. But I knew that, no, he won't make it after I already heard a certain story. Then there's another gentleman. We asked, is he coming for fellowship? You know what he answered? He says, the clothes are dirty. I say, Vanazovula. Is he naked right now? Now, you know, one doesn't come for fellowship not because there is a legitimate excuse, but because at that particular point it's not a priority. That's the simple answer. It's not a priority. Of course, there are certain emergencies which happen, certain situations where maybe someone is at work, understandable. But I believe, again, you understand when I tell you that others, it's a habit and it's convenient for them. Right? Yeah. I can tell you that I've seen people, they only show up when they're in a problem and they need to be prayed for. There are characters like that, and many times I've had situations like that. They show up in church maybe 3 times in a year or 4 times in a year. And each of the moments they showed up, it's because they gave me a phone call that, please, I need prayers over this, and that. Would you say a person is busy for 4 months? I wonder, how does a person survive? How do you survive being away from fellowship? I'm talking of a year. Even a month of not being in fellowship, how do you survive? It's unthinkable, isn't it? It's unthinkable. Now look at this. Whatever you desire, whatever God has spoken to you about, which you need to do, or something you know that I've got to do this, it will never come to fruition until you go through these 5 things. Number one, plan. Yes, as simple as that. Plan. Plan or decision. Make a decision to say, no, I need to do this. That, put another way, plan. To say, no, I need to do this and I'm going to do it today at this time, that time, or the first step I need to do is this, this, and that. There always has to be a plan. There always has to be a decision. And our all favorite scripture, Proverbs 16, puts it very well. Proverbs 16, verse 1. Brother Nzima, do you have an online? Okay, let me just see if it can be read from here.
Obviously, the Nyanza one has an interesting phrase also. These are very heavy words. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Do you have a different version, brother, on the phone? Okay, if you would read it in NIV, anyone with NIV?
Yes, easy to read.
Easy to read, you have it? Yeah, I just want that read from another version. Okay, so it says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. In Nyanja, verse 3, it says, Pereka zochita zako kwa Yehova, ndipo zolingarira zako zidza kazikika.
But it says, people might plan what they want to say, but it is the Lord who gives them the right words. People think that whatever they do is right, but the Lord judges their reason.
Yes. Oh, okay. I don't really love that version. NIV would have been better. Let's stick with King James version. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works. Commit the things you do, the things you plan, and your thoughts. Your thoughts, that means your things you plan, things you desire, shall be established when you commit them in the hands of the Lord. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You remember another way of putting it in the book of James, where he says, the foolish people of this world, they say, tomorrow we shall do this and that. Then we shall move into a city and we shall do business and we shall make profit. But he says, they speak as though life is in their hands. And then James says, this is how we are supposed to say, the Lord willing, we shall move to such a city, we shall do this, this and that. So you can see from these verses that God has given you a privilege to make a plan. Even to desire something. But what is important is commit it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I have this desire. You pray over it. And if you're a child of God who is spiritual, you'll find many times that your desires are actually spiritually aligned, because it is the Spirit of God that worketh and doeth things through you. But the important thing is, whatever it is, one has to make a decision, one has to make a plan, one has to commit it in the heart and be resolute about it that this needs to be done. But that is not enough. That is not enough. You need to act. That is number two. These are very simple steps. Plan, one, two, act. You know, the Lord Jesus taught the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when they received the Holy Spirit, all you read throughout that book are Acts. And theologians gave it the title, the Acts of the Apostles. The Holy Spirit didn't just come on them for them to continue waiting in Jerusalem. But you can actually see the result that started happening from what that power came to do upon them. It is, in the world, they would call it a thriller. It's a series of actions. It's a series of, then the Lord spoke to Peter, go and do this and that. Then Paul saw a vision. He was supposed to. God can never come upon us just to make us sit down and lazy around. The Holy Spirit never comes upon a people to give them a good feeling. Or to start competing over dreams. To say, I had this dream, I had that dream. For what reason? The anointing comes, the Spirit comes to give you the power, the ability to do something in His kingdom. Hey, you read about Philip. He had daughters. And those daughters were not just cleaning plates. They were prayerful. They were spiritual. And God found vessels in them to even start prophesying. Why? They gave a place of their hearts
for the service of the Lord. Amen? You have Dorcas, who had to be brought back to life because of, the Bible says, of her charity works. So you know that doing the work of God is not all about preaching and all that. You need to know your place in the house of God to be a blessing to someone. Amen. So you need to know what is the calling of the Lord upon your life. The thing of it is, whatever God reveals to your heart, there has to be a plan. Number two, there has to be action. God never uses anything that is just dormant. His light is moving. You need to act. And when you look at these principles, they are very applicable even in our everyday life, even in the natural life. In the natural life, look at a person who doesn't do anything, who folds his hands. You know that scripture which says, how does it put it? It says, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms. What does it say? So shall poverty come to you as an armed person. You know, a little folding of the arms, a little slumber. It describes a person of no action. And then what happens? Poverty strikes that person. Do you remember where that passage is? A little folding of the arms. I just know it is in Proverbs. Let me see if I can bring it out. It's very important. This is Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. Proverbs 6, verse 9. Brother Nzima, see if you can read it in this one here. Okay. Proverbs 6, verse 9 to 11. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man.
Udzagwana mpakari iti wole siwe. Zauka kutulo tuwa kuli iti. Tulo tuwa pangono, kuodzera pangono, kungo manga manja pangono, likugona. Ndipo mpawu wako, zakufika ngati mbala. Ndipo sauka kwako ngati mtu wachikopa.
Okay. Just there. Now, I want you to focus on the words, a little folding of the hands. Meaning, it is a habit information. It starts a little, another little, you say, oh, I'll do this tomorrow. I think I'll do it tomorrow. I think let me take a little sleep. It's just like these guys who are from writing exams. Whatever results they got, they haven't gotten those results now. The results have just been announced now. Whatever results they've gotten, the results started when their grade 7 started. So when someone starts grade 7 today, your assessment has started. If someone says, today I feel lazy, I'm not going to read, I'm not going to study, a little folding of the hands. Tomorrow comes, okay, I've read here, I feel tired. I think, let me watch that thing I was watching, that cartoon I was watching. That is how failing starts. Failing hasn't happened now to say, the person hasn't gotten good marks. No, it didn't start that way. It's a little folding of the hands, a little slumber. Now, why most of us do not see that? Because it's an everyday thing and we don't take note of how it affects us. Until later on, you look at yourself in the mirror, you have some gray hair and all that. Then when you look at your life, you begin to think, how much have I done? May we never fall in that crisis. Solomon puts it this way. Whatever your hand finds to do, what did he say? Do it with your might. Do it whilst you have strength. Because parimairo, when this strength won't be there. So plan, number two, act. And when you are acting, kosa chita acti na ulesi. That is why, that time when we were saying we were having a Rufunsa crusade, I had different images in my mind to say, how are we going to do it? Should we just do a small meeting or things like that? Then I realized, no. If we're going to do a crusade, it has to be maximum output to the best of our abilities by the grace of God. Right? And friends, as we are starting this new year, 2022, wow, I'm putting up a robust program. We have no time to waste. Almost every month or two, we need to be having revival meetings here. We need to plan for three crusades. And these have to be very big hits. You need to shake the whole territory where you go, the way it happened in Rufunsa. Amen. Yeah. Whatever your hand finds to do, whatever. Now, it doesn't say whatever your hand finds to do, that you just do things after your carnal desires. Remember, all the goodness the Lord has given us, it is by His provision. For me to have the strength, it is by His provision. You understand that? The message God has given us, it is by His grace. And we have to do whatever is within the opportunity that God has given us to the very maximum. Because we can't wait for tomorrow. Amen. Let's not worry about the resources and all that. I think we've grown now. We've grown beyond that. We've seen how God has provided, right? So I'm speaking this to you as an individual. I'm speaking to this to us as a family, to us as a congregation. Praise God. So plan, act. Don't be lazy. Now remember, don't act because you feel like it. Mm-mm. God doesn't work like that. Don't act because you feel like it. Act whether you feel like it or not. As long as you've prayed over that thing. Remember what Paul said to Timothy. Preach. Be instant. In season, out of season. You know that, huh? Right? Do you know that God can never speak or use a person who is just seated? You need to show your availability. You don't just say, Oh, I won't evangelize. I won't speak to my neighbor. I wait for to see a dream before I can speak to my neighbor. What? It has to start with your desire. Lord, give me grace. I desire to witness the word of God to that person there. Lord, open a way for me. Make a way. Create a situation for me. Listen to me. If there is a desire, God is going to lead you to the next step. But God won't lead you to the next step where there is no desire, where there is no plan, where there is no desire. You remember Paul, when he set on his missionary journey, he thought he was supposed to preach in a certain place, but it is the Holy Spirit who appeared telling them, no, not here. The Bible says the Holy Spirit constrained them not to do that. Meaning there was a desire for them to think it could be this place. Let us start preaching. If it is not His will, the Lord will reveal Himself. But there has to be a desire from you to say, Lord, I desire this. These are our plans. May you lead and guide us. But there has to be a desire. Because God can never respond to an empty heart. There has to be a desire. Commit thy ways to the Lord and they will be established, right? That is how blessed your thoughts are. Now, number three. After you've planned, after you've acted, maybe God has shown you to do something, you've acted, or there's a desire you have in your life, you've acted, you planned, you've acted, there's a number three step and most people don't do it. Now most people, they love to plan, they love to think about something good. Many people, it ends there, they don't do anything. When you plan, there has to be action. Action is very important. A plan without action is a wish list. It's nothing. It's useless. It's as good as it was never written at all. Anyone can make a plan. Anyone can write a list of desires. But without action, it is as good as it was not written. I've always asked that funny question. Three birds were sitting on a tree. Two decided to fly away. How many remained on the tree? Terry, do you remember that? Three birds are sitting on a tree. Two birds decide to fly away. How many have remained? Huh, who said one? Siwongi, you say one. Okay. Now look at this. They only decided to fly away. They did not fly. So there's two, three beds on the tree. So there are those who say, I'll now start to pray. And first I'll start being prayerful. I'll start waiting upon the Lord. That doesn't mean they've started doing that thing. It's as good as nothing until action is done. Praise God. Now, number three. This is very important. Important for those who've been acting. They planned, they acted. Number three, never forget. Because many times we get lost in acting where we start doing the action and then we forget to proceed to the third stage. The third thing is evaluate. Evaluate means check. What is the result? After I've done this, is it giving a positive result? Is the Lord blessing it? Am I working at the right, correct pace? What results am I seeing? Now, without evaluation, you won't know whether you're going in the right direction or not. You understand that? Now, you remember Paul, when God met him along the way, he saw that light. And different things started happening to him. God tells him, go to such and such a house. He went there, he was prayed for, he received his sight. And he started knowing that Jesus Christ is actually the Messiah. The Bible says he went to Arabia. He spent there some 3 years trying to understand what is going on, to interpret, to evaluate what is going on. And as he started, submitted, yielded, surrendered to the Lord, when he came out from there, what did Paul say? He went to check with the other apostles of Christ. To compare the revelation, what I've received, is it the same thing these other men of God are having? And he had the confidence, the thing which was revealed to him is the same thing the apostles had. A quiet time is always important to check through what is going on in your life. Am I on the right path? Is the Lord blessing what I'm doing? Are there areas which I need to improve on, or where I need to do something for something to happen right? It's just like the crusade we had in Ufuza. The next crusade has to be in Nyimba. And this Sunday with the brothers, we need to sit down. We plan when we need to travel to Nyimba. Now, we don't just go to Nyimba and say, let us do crusade. You need to sit down, compare what we did in Ufuza. Which ones were our weak points? Where do we need to improve? What are we supposed to do? It's only on the basis of that you are going to go higher with the next activity you are doing. When you sat down, you've done introspection, and you see areas where you are weak to improve on those areas. A man who just walks through life without pausing to check where mistakes are being made, a person who walks in life like that, if there's a mistake at a certain point, you keep doing the same mistake, and it will eventually lead you to death. There has to be a moment where you sit, you meditate, you ask the Lord to search your hearts. Amen. There's no one perfect here. We are still on the journey of perfection. And as long as we are still in that state, from time to time, you need to have your quiet time with the Lord where you say, Lord, search my heart. Where you read the word of God and you examine your life. Where am I lacking? Plan, act, evaluate. After you've evaluated, evaluate means try to understand the actions you are doing. What meaning are they producing? What results are they producing? Now, once you've taken note of certain things you are doing okay, certain things you feel they need attention, you need to pray over them, you need to correct them, the next thing is control. That is number four, control. Control. Again, I need to say, there are many who plan. Well, there are few who act, but there are even a minority who do evaluation. And a very tiny number who put control action. Once you've done control, the fifth stage is act again. Continue taking into consideration those things you've controlled. Say, I need to do this, I need to do that. And the cycle again begins. You say, okay, let me see. The things which I control, am I making any progress? Brothers and sisters, all these five steps revolve around free will. Free will should be protected by these five things. Free will should be protected by a plan, should be protected by action, should be protected by evaluation, should be protected by control, should be protected by reaction. Once free will is not protected by this, it starts going haphazardly in every direction, and a person who goes everywhere arrives nowhere. Your life just becomes a series of disordered joints and bumps and all that. You can't make meaning out of that. But remember, there is a crown at the end of our journey. Paul was able to say, I pour out myself as a drink offering. I have fought a good fight. That was not pride. That was a fact. He knew how he lived his life. Amen. How many desire to end like Paul to say, you'll be able to sit down with your children and say, I've fought a good fight? I mean, he wasn't proud. He was speaking a fact. He's someone who was careful. In certain passages of scripture, he says, I am careful to check myself, lest I get disqualified by my own preaching. You've read that portion, huh? He says, I constantly check what I do, lest I become disqualified by the very things I preach and teach. So Paul evaluated himself. Am I doing the things I'm preaching? Am I doing the things I'm preaching? That's the importance of evaluation. Praise the Lord. So Brother Zima has quickly evaluated himself. You know, he was stretching when the chair broke. He went back into control action. That is how your life should be. You don't just stretch on the chair. You're even hearing the noise. Quack, 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 quack. You say, is it the will of God? Quack. You fall. You say, Lord, help me. Lift me up. No, God doesn't work like that. He has put enough sensors in us to know that things are not happening right. Let control action kick in. That's the beauty of life, isn't it? You're able to know it in your heart to say, this is a sign of danger. I need to do something. Ukazona apana konda kutamba maningi TV. My prayer life is going down. Don't ignore that. Do something about that. Say, no. I need to start praying here. Don't ignore the small, still voice in your life. I don't know in what situation, what habit it's about, what kind of a thing you have to plan about, but evaluation, control, and reaction is important. Shall we stand? Praise the Lord.